All right, I have a Bible trivia question for you guys this morning. According to Scripture, how many people fasted for 40 days and 40 nights throughout the Bible? How many people in the Bible fasted for 40 days and 40 nights? Ask your kids, see if they know. Lock in your answers. Just go ahead and discuss it. How many people? How many different people fasted for 40 days and 40 nights? If you said one, you would be incorrect. Now, we all know Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. It's in the New Testament. That's what happened immediately after his baptism. He was driven out, fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. But there are actually three people who fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. All three of them make an appearance in today's gospel. It's Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. Now, they're all from three different periods of time, but all three of them, the scriptures record them making a 40-day fast. And interestingly enough, at the end of their 40 days, all three of them were entrusted with a mission or had a particular encounter with God at the top of a mountain. Moses, after his 40 days and 40 nights, he received the Ten Commandments. Elijah, after his 40 days and 40 nights, he went up a mountain and he was able to see God, not face to face, but when God walked past him, he kind of held his hand back, and Elijah was able to see God's back, not his face, but his back. And then Jesus, after his 40 days and 40 nights, he went out and began his ministry. So the church, in the season of Lent, the first Sunday, we always get the gospel of Jesus fasting. We always get, on the second Sunday of Lent, the transfiguration, today's gospel. Now, we celebrate the Feast of the Transfiguration outside of Lent, but we get this reading every year on the second Sunday of Lent. And there's a reason behind that. So this happens. Today's gospel is from Matthew chapter 17. Now, there are 24 chapters in the book of Matthew. So the whole book of Matthew, 24 chapters. So 17 is toward the end of the book. And the transfiguration happens toward the end of Jesus' ministry. So up to this point, the apostles, they've been with Jesus for 3 years. They've watched him walk on water. They've watched him multiply the loaves and the fishes. They've seen him touch the leper and heal him. They've witnessed all of this. But even with all that background, 3 years of being in ministry with Jesus, something new was revealed to them on top of that mountain in the gospel today. This is what the church is trying to get us to be aware of. That to break out of this mundane kind of day-to-day life that we always see Jesus and I've heard the story of the gospel. I know the story of Jesus, but it's predictable, so to speak. But the transfiguration, they didn't see that one coming. There's one element in particular I want to kind of draw out today from this transfiguration. It's a line that you guys have heard, 100 times before, but he led them up, Peter, James, and John, led them up a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. Now, again, you've heard that before, and maybe in your mind's eye, you can kind of imagine like Jesus glowing like a firefly or something like that. Like, oh, there's this light coming from Jesus. Wow, that's pretty cool. But hold on a minute. His face shone like the sun. Have you ever seen the sun? You know what that's like? Could you imagine what that was like for the apostles to see Jesus with that kind of intensity of light? I read this gospel, and it always makes me think of a documentary I saw years and years ago. Interviewing a bunch of soldiers from post-World War II, and they were sailors that were put on a ship, and 7 miles away from the ship, they detonated an atomic bomb just to test it and see what would happen. Okay, so all these soldiers are on the deck of a ship, and they line them up in rows, and they tell them, close your eyes, put your hands over your face, and it'll be fine, don't worry about it. They all got cancer, obviously, but in their interviews, a couple, and I'm sure by this point they're all they've all passed away. But years later, in this interview, a couple of the sailors were saying, they recounted that standing on the deck of the ship, eyes closed, hands over their eyes, the flash of the atomic bomb from 7 miles away was so bright that they could see their own bones and their veins in their hands, and they could see the skeleton of the man standing in front of them on the ship. It was that intense. Now, imagine that kind of light coming from Jesus, who you've been walking with and eating with and sleeping beside on the ground for the last 3 years. Oh, this is different. And Scripture uses the imagery of light all the time, particularly John. John and the Gospel of John, the image, the analogy or imagery of light and darkness, it's constant. It's all throughout John. But there are several different hints that Scripture gives us about God as light. In Him, He is light. There is no darkness at all. In the book of Revelations, John was taken up to heaven, and he was given this vision, this mystical vision of heaven. And he comes back down, he writes the book of Revelation, describing what he saw. And this is what he says: in that city, they have no lamps. They need no lamps or the sun, for the Lord God gives them light. God provides, God Himself provides the light in heaven. There's no lamps. There's no light switches. There's no stars and moon to give light. The light comes from God. Even the Shroud of Turin, if you're familiar with that, that's the burial cloth that Jesus was buried in, and they still have it today. And on this burial cloth is an image of Jesus, of a man laying there with his arms crossed in front of him. You could see the wounds of the nails of the crown of thorns and the scars where he's been, his skin has been lacerated, the wounds of nail marks in his hands and feet. And they've done all kinds of tests on this cloth, but they can't explain how that image is on the cloth. It wasn't painted on. It wasn't, it's not, so it's not paint, it's not necessarily even blood, the only thing that they can describe it as is that it was an incredibly intense burst of light that burned that image onto the Shroud of Turin, and they can't replicate it. His face shone like the sun. Pope Benedict, he talks about, preaches on this Sunday, obviously, and he talked about how the church gives us this reading for the same reason that Jesus gave Peter, James, and John the experience of the Transfiguration. He led them up a mountain. His glory was revealed that up to this point had been shrouded. His glory was revealed, and they come down the mountain shell-shocked. And just a few weeks later, from this point on, they're making a journey to Jerusalem so that he can be crucified and risen. And the Transfiguration was a gift to the apostles in order to prepare their hearts for the scandal of the cross. And that is why it is given to you and I. The season of Lent is a season where we're supposed to be doing things differently than the rest of the year. But how often, brothers and sisters, do we put God into this box of like, oh yeah, that's God. I go to Mass. I've read the Bible. I know the story of salvation. I get all that. I believe it. But when one hour a week on Sunday, I pull God out of the box and, yeah, okay, there's God. And then I push Him back in the drawer until next Sunday. What if God desires to reveal Himself to you in a completely new way? Just last Sunday, at the 10:30 Mass, I was saying the words of consecration. And I've been a priest for almost 11 years at this point, and roughly calculated, I think I've said close to 5,000 masses right now. 5,000 masses, and something completely new happened to me last Sunday. As I was saying the words of consecration, and the words will be poured out for you and for many. I've said those words 5,000 plus times. But as I said, will be poured out for you, Jesus spoke to me in the consecration, in the Mass, and he said one word. As I said, you, Jesus said, you. Curtis, this blood was poured out for you. He only said one word, but I knew exactly what he meant. The sacrifice of Calvary, the sacrifice of the Eucharist, it wasn't just for everybody, for humanity, for it's that, but it was personal. It has to be personal. The sacrifice was for Curtis Hecker. And it was for you, particularly. What if the season of Lent was a season where God can reveal himself to you in a new way? Through the means that you're already familiar with, but with new manifestation of his glory. And so, my encouragement for you in the next few weeks as we head towards Easter is to maybe make a specific prayer. Lord, reveal yourself to me in a new way. Allow me to see you. Allow me to hear your voice. Allow me to feel your presence. Jesus said, ask and you will receive, didn't he? Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. But what I found is that so many of us don't ever bother asking and seeking and knocking. And so that's my encouragement, my challenge, my invitation to you is in the next several weeks, make that your prayer. Lord, speak to me. Lord, reveal yourself to me. Lord, let me hear you or see you or feel you in a new way. May we each experience the Lord in our own small transfiguration to see just a taste of his glory.